You're listening to the Greencast Advisory Podcast. I'm Glenn Kirby, the technical manager for Syngenta UK and Ireland, and here is where you'll find me talking about the content in my turf blog. They'll be short and to the point, so put on those headphones and have a listen to what I've got to say this time. Here we go. We've reached that time of the month again. Yes, it's time for May 2021's frequently asked questions. So number one on the list for May, the question I got asked most is, should I apply some fungicide now or should I let it grow out? Well, we all know May has been brutally cold and wet this year. I guess it makes a change from the cold and the dry that April threw at us. But what that's led to is an unexpected amount of fusarium about, or at least fusarium that won't go away. It's never really got out of hand, but it has rumbled on for a frustratingly long period for a lot of people. So at the beginning of the month, I got asked that a few times, shall we apply fungicide or should we grow it out? My answer to this question generally falls like this, because I get asked this question quite a lot. So if I get asked that question in the spring, my stock answer is generally let it grow out. If I get asked that question in the autumn, my stock answer will generally be apply a fungicide. Now, there's a simple reason for that. In the spring, we've got good growing conditions ahead. So if you are getting a bit of damage in April, then you have potentially a good growing month in front of you with May in order to grow that damage out. Whereas in the autumn, if you're seeing damage in October, then what is ahead of you is November, which isn't a good growing month, followed by December, which is even worse, followed by January. And as it happens this year, we're probably not going to get into a decent growing month until June. So with the autumn, I would always steer towards a fungicide. If I'm 50-50, spring, I would let it grow out. But this is no ordinary spring, and I've put some blogs together about the challenges May 2021 has thrown at us. And if I'd known when I was first asked that question in beginning of May, I think I would offer a different answer to the one that I advised. I think I'd be advising people to go to FR321, which is our one box solution for weather conditions like this. You've got the systemic activity of Heritage in there in case it warms up. You've got the spore knockdown activity of Medallion in there, and you've got Rider as a really nice combination to add some colour. And if the light does pick up, it will help with that. And it also helps mask a bit of the seed heads that are on greens at the moment. So really nice combination this time of year. There's loads more in the specific blog about that. But for my area of the country, May temperature was closer to the average temperatures we see in November. October, we see around average temperatures of around 11 and a half. In November, we generally see average temperatures of 8. For us down here, our average temperature in May was under 10. So we're really close to that kind of November temperature. But the odds are stacked against us having that kind of May. Actually, when I look at it, for us to get an average temperature under 10 degrees in May, that is an 18 to 1 chance. So my advice is based on the odds. And I guess we all wish we could put some money on a horse after the race is run, but we can't. So actually, I think it was good advice. I think most people have come through this with some putting surfaces that they're quite happy with. And stick with it. I do think the spring, let it grow out, is the right strategy. And the next question I got asked was about Primo. Since it's been such a cold year, it is an obvious question, I guess. The turf isn't growing. Is that a plant growth regulator response, or is that Mother Nature putting on the handbrake? There is loads of content on the website about that. But the short version is pretty simple. Stick to this pattern. If it's cold but just about growing, apply every 4 weeks. If it's peak summer and you're in the height of growth, then apply every 2 weeks. If you're in the middle, then go every 3 weeks. But remember, adjusting the rate does not alter the levels of longevity. It will alter the level of suppression you get. So by applying more in this spring, where we've not got a lot of growth, You are not buying yourself more time. You are simply giving yourself bigger problems of stunting your greens. Now, if that's what you want, great. If it's not, then it's not the way to do it. Okay, so April is normally the month where we really worry about leather jackets in the spring, and this year is extended well into May, and it's been a very hectic month for me on the leather jacket front. I see loads of you have been out there sheeting on a regular basis to help you deal with this challenge, and as we move into stronger growth, I'm hoping you're all getting through it now. I'm sure you'll all be aware that Big I put together a webinar earlier in the month and asked me to get involved. I was honoured to be asked, and that led to a whole host of questions that myself and Big are putting together as a document right now. But I promise as soon as we've got those answers all tidied up and together, we will be sharing them, and I will be sharing the learnings to date that I found, and to help you put an ITM strategy together to get you through next year in the best position we can. But one of the things I have noticed is, as we've been looking for the spring hatch, is I've been seeing a different species of crane fly laying in greens this year to anything that's been reported to me before. It was a spotted crane fly. And to me, this just opens up some questions. The first question is, how do we know that we're only getting two species of crane fly laying in our greens? There are hundreds of different crane flies in the UK. How do we know that only two of those are laying their eggs in there? We get a wide range of age diversity when we're looking greens at these leather jackets. And everything I've learned to date tells me that the leather jacket itself, the larvae stage, is very difficult to tell apart between all the species. So how do we know? I could be barking up the wrong tree here, but maybe, just maybe, there's some additional factors that we hadn't really thought about when we were just wiping out the whole population with products in the past. I've also been surprised this month at the lack of a peak in the hatch pattern. What we usually see on Pest Tracker is this high peak around the middle of April going through to the middle of May, and we just haven't seen it this year. We've seen a constant reporting of crane fly hatching, but we haven't seen a big peak of it. Now, I suspect that's very related to this cold year we've had, and I think we'll see that peak when the weather picks up. Hopefully that's just around the corner. In fact, I'm going to have a guess at a big hatch this bank holiday weekend. There you go. I put my head on the block on that one. But the only way we're going to really understand that and know about it is if we continue to gather data through Pest Tracker. So read my thoughts on that here. So this May has been a real challenge for this particular subject, and I suspect, and I hope, I suspect it's partly to do with the raising insect levels, but I suspect it's more to do with the fact that it's been so cold. We had a brutally cold April followed by a very, very cold May. And it's these really cold springs that are exactly the time when we'd like to reach for a curative type product that would put our anxieties to bed. So we know during these difficult periods, when we've got a higher population that we want than we want, that we can reach for something to solve the challenge. But we just don't have access to those products anymore. The emergency authorizations have got high levels of stewardship to make sure they're used in a preventative manner. And I believe and stand by all of the registration processes that are there. They're all being put in place for the right reasons, both for human health, environmental factors, and the emergency authorizations have been backed by all the governing bodies are there to do the right thing. But none of that helps with the anxiety that a lot of people are feeling through these cold springs, high leather jacket pressure, and lack of control tools on the shelf. They are causing concern. If you want to chat, guys, if you want someone to talk to, give me a call, and I'm more than happy to talk to you. I haven't got any magic answers or silver bullets, but I'm quite happy to talk to you about what we've learned to date. And keep your head up. And if you're listening and you're a golfer, please just take the pressure off a little bit. Most people are out there doing everything they can. Right, with the beginning of tournament golf of the year and a few televised events going on around the country and a bit of exciting anticipation about golf again, one of the questions I got asked was, my bunker bank's looking quite weak. Do you think Ryder would help? Yes, absolutely. Now, this was a course that had something going on that was going to be televised in some way, shape or form, and they wanted to look great. But there's a few caveats, a few words of warning. Don't get it in the sand. Whilst it will stain the sand, a bit of blue pigment will easily rake out and can be redistributed around easily, but it's not a job you want to create for yourself. So if you are spraying, it will dye the sand, so just be careful on application. Don't go too high. I guess there's a temptation because they're small areas just to dollop a load in and go with it. All the work we've done, we've never seen a benefit of going higher than 2 litres a hectare. It maxes out at that point. You don't get any more out of it by going higher. So we certainly would never recommend going higher than 2 litres a hectare with your Ryder application. That's your top end rate. Don't waste your time or your money on a higher rate. And the third thing I would add to that is to add some Calibra. In fact, we found simply by adding Calibra to the Ryder, we've increased the intensity of the colour greater than increasing the rate. So if you want to get a little bit more out of it in those areas and really strengthen up or make them look darker colour for a various event, adding a bit of Calibra in there will spread it over the leaf better and you'll get the added benefit of a great wetting agent on your bunker banks. And whilst we're talking about bunker banks, I've had some questions asking me about rates of Primo on bunker banks. Can I offer some help and support and advice there? And I certainly can. So maximum rate you can go with Primo Max is 3.2 litres a hectare. Now, at 3.2 litres a hectare, you might get a little yellowing, which is nothing to worry about. It's not going to cause any damage to your turf, but it's something you should be aware of. That can be easily negated by using a small amount of nitrogen. 2 kilograms of nitrogen a hectare would work really well. Or you could use Ryder, depending on what you're trying to achieve. Generally on bunker banks, it's a simple case of you wanting to slow the growth down to reduce your labour inputs. If you can tolerate a bit of yellowing, then just go with the Primo. If you want green banks, then you've got to look to either nitrogen or Ryder. Nitrogen will encourage that sward to thicken up as the additional energy will be invested in growth, generally lateral growth, but you will get some upright growth. But Ryder won't encourage any of the extra growth and it will help maintain colour. So before you choose your combination, it's worth thinking about what you're trying to achieve. Are you simply trying to shut growth down? Don't care what it looks like. Do you want it to look great? In that case, do you want to absolutely maximise your growth regulation? Or do you want to dense those swards up, make them a bit more drought tolerant? And I guess that's a little bit variable even across your own site. If I think back to when I was managing golf courses, I had some bunker banks where I struggled to keep grass on. I had others that I really wanted to stop growing and I seemed to spend my whole life trimming. So have a look at it and have a little think about that. From an application point of view, if you can achieve 300 litres of hectare of water in your knapsack, then I would go at that. But from experience, 250 litres a hectare of water is about all that's achievable through most knapsacks. And one last thing to finish on. Now, my Henry from ICL and myself are now putting together a monthly podcast covering these types of subjects. And rather than looking back like I do in this one, it's our chance to look forward and have a really good think about the strategies we can put in place over the next month in order to reduce the risk and make sure we get through that month as trouble-free as possible. And there's a link to that podcast on my blog. And if you have had a listen, there's also a link to a feedback form in there. We would really appreciate some feedback. That we put a lot of work into that one. It takes us a lot of time. It's well worthwhile and we're really proud of what we're achieving, but because we're putting so much time into it, we want to make sure you're getting the very most out of it. So if you've got any thoughts, any suggestions, anything that we can alter, we'd really like to hear it because it will help us shape how that podcast sounds. Look, that's it for May. Fingers crossed, June is a very friendly one. Some really nice temperatures, sensible levels of rainfall. That's producing great surfaces for those golfers. I hope the May bank holiday, which is sneaking up on us, is going to deliver the weather that they're predicting, and everything pans out for a great season for the rest of 2021. Look after yourselves. Hope you enjoyed the podcast version of Greencast Advisory. For more content like this, check out the Greencast Advisory blog, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next time, take care of yourself, and thanks for listening.